today, especially those of you who have seen this multiple times. I appreciate your support. So today I'm going to talk to you about some focus groups we did at Kaiser Colorado, where we talked to parents about their vaccine decision making and their healthcare experiences with their providers. So I have no relationships to disclose. So today we're going to start just by giving you a little background, go into the objectives of our study, our methodology we used, what we found when we talked to our parents, the conclusions from our study, our limitations, because as you know with qualitative research there are some limitations, and the next steps that we have for our project. So as many of you know, vaccines have been a very successful public health measure. We've reduced incidence of many diseases, smallpox, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, just to name a few. But vaccines have been a victim of their own success. Because these diseases are nearly eradicated, we now have parents going from being concerned about the risk of disease to concerned about the risk of vaccine safety. So that's where we are now. We've got vaccine exemption rates increasing significantly over the last decade. So in response to this increase in exemptions for vaccinations, Jason Glanz, the principal investigator of the study that I'm working on, applied for a K award through NIAID and received it. We have a couple key points that we wanted to look at with this K award. The first one was looking at disease risk for children not vaccinated. So what is the risk of pertussis, pneumococcal, varicella? In all three cases, we found a significantly increased risk for kids who are unvaccinated. In fact, with pertussis, it was a 23-fold increase, so a very large increased risk. So then our next step was to start talking to these parents. What do you think about this? What are your beliefs? What is your decision-making process? What are your healthcare experiences? So we did some focus groups, and that's what I'm going to get into and tell you about today. After the focus groups, we've started to conduct some surveys to get more feedback from parents instead of such a small group with our focus groups. And then we're going to take all of that information and build an intervention that we can implement in our Kaiser system to help address these concerns that parents have for vaccines. So the objectives of our focus group were to talk to parents and assess what does your decision-making process look like, what are your healthcare experiences, and how can we use that to build a risk communication tool to help address the concerns that parents have. So what we did was we recruited three homogeneous groups, and if you read my abstract, it's just one, but we've actually done two other groups since then. So we're going to talk about delayers and acceptors as well today. So what these groups are, the decliners are parents that have not vaccinated any vaccines for their children. They've fully refused all vaccinations. The delayers is a much more heterogeneous group. They do a lot of different things. This group are people that may wait for 6 months and then get all the vaccinations. They may never do varicella. They may start at 2 months and then refuse all after that, but they have some vaccinations. Even if it's just one, they have some kind of a vaccination throughout their child's first 2 years of life. And then the fully vaccinated kids, these are, we considered anyone who had followed the ACIP recommendations fully vaccinated. So we identified our participants using our electronic medical records at Kaiser, and we did a medical chart review to confirm their status. The parents had children aged 2 to 4. The reason we chose that age group is because once they're 2 years old, they've had the chance to get through their first 2 years of life with all the vaccinations. And if they're much older than 4, the parents may not remember this decision-making process. So we kept it limited to the 2 to 4 year age range. They all lived in the Denver metro area and were all members of Kaiser Permanente Colorado. We sent 100 letters out to participants in each cohort, and then they had an option to opt out with that letter, and then we followed up with phone call recruitment to these participants. We limited our focus groups to 3 to 6 participants. What we found is that they had a lot to say. They wanted to talk a ton about this topic. And so the bigger the groups were, the harder it was to get them going on conversations. So we really limited it to 3 to 6 participants. The focus groups lasted for an hour to an hour and a half. We provided a snack for them as well as a $25 incentive. And the focus groups were held by 2 trained moderators. We had 33 participants in our group. There were 13 decliners, 11 delayers, and 9 acceptors. We did 10 focus groups at Kaiser clinics throughout the Denver metro area. If you know the area, we spread them way out. So we had Boulder, which is, there's a large percentage of decliners and delayers in that group. Westminster is a little further south. We've got Aurora, Highlands Ranch. So pretty much all over the metro area with varying degrees of refusal and delay. So our analytic plan, we based it in grounded theory, and essentially what that means is that we didn't come in with ideas about what we knew they would say or what we thought they would say with a codebook already developed. We let the themes and the codes emerge as we went through the process. So we started with open coding and just kind of seeing what themes emerged with our focus groups as they went. And once we realized there was no new themes coming out, no new codes, we stopped our focus groups. We transcribed them, and we had three reviewers independently go through each focus group, and they assigned codes to it. We used that to develop our codebook, and then we went through it multiple times after that to refine our codebook. Once we had a finalized codebook, we went through one more time just to assure that we had a final code for everything, and we had 80 to 90% agreement on those final codes. So what did we talk to parents about in these focus groups? We discussed three main topics. The first we got into was vaccine concerns. What are you concerned about? Why are you afraid to vaccinate your child? What are your issues with this? And we really didn't want to get into this too much. This has been studied quite a bit, and we already know that safety is the biggest concern for parents with vaccines. So we didn't want to spend a lot of time on this, but they really wanted to talk about it, and it was a great way to get the conversation moving. So we started with vaccine concerns. And as I mentioned, we also talked to parents that were fully vaccinating their kids. A lot of these people didn't have concerns about vaccines, and we didn't want to say, what concerns you about vaccines? We didn't want them to think they should be concerned about vaccines. So we avoided that question and instead asked them to think about parents that have made a different choice for their kids. How did that make them feel? What did they think about that? So then we got into our parents' decision-making process, and we focused in two areas on this. The first was, when are you making this decision? Is it during pregnancy? Is it at the 6-month visit? Is it the 2-month visit? When is this decision-making process happening? And then we asked what sources of information they were using. So where are you going for this? Are you going to the internet? Are you going to your doctor, your friends? Where are you getting this information? And then the last thing we talked to parents about was this parent-provider relationship. So what does your relationship look like with your provider? Can you share good experiences, bad experiences? And then at the end of it, we asked them to give us the ideal scenario. So what would it look like in your ideal world to go talk to your provider, hear the goods, the bads, all of that stuff? How would you really like that to go? So that, you know, really helped us kind of design our next steps for building an intervention. So what did we learn? When we asked them about vaccine concerns, we didn't learn too much. It was all what we had already heard. So we definitely heard a lot about safety. We heard a lot about institutional trust. They didn't have institutional trust. They didn't trust the government. They didn't trust the CDC. They didn't trust their provider. The decliners and delayers really had a lot of safety issues, and so I didn't list them all up here, but that was their main concern. And the one thing I did want to point out with our delayer group that I thought was really interesting that we heard from every single person in our delayer group, they mentioned that the kids are getting too many shots, it's overloading their immune system. And as public healthers, we know that's not true, but that's really what they believe, and that's a big concern for them. So if this is an intervention we want to move forward, that's an issue we're definitely going to have to talk to those parents about. When we asked our acceptors what they thought about parents that were declining or delaying vaccinations, it was an interesting view. They were concerned, but they weren't concerned for the society as a whole. They were more concerned about their specific child. They would say things like, I don't want my kid to be around a kid that's not vaccinated. But when you're talking about the society as a whole, that was a different story. So here are some comments that our parents made. So this was a delayer talking about that too many shot idea. She said, just the thought of like 6 shots at a time is like, whoa, I don't think so. And again, this just really emphasizes the importance of addressing this particular issue with these parents. One of our parents that were accepting said, I'm concerned because I feel like there are more parents who seem like they aren't vaccinating their children. And what this really points to is not only that they're concerned for their child and that they're concerned about people not vaccinating, but they're also seeing a rise in the number of parents that are declining or delaying vaccinations. And this is a group that didn't indicate they didn't really say they had any friends that were refusing or delaying. Their friends tended to vaccinate as well. So they're seeing it beyond what's within their peer group. So when we asked them about their decision-making process, they told us a wide variety of things. Our decliners basically made their decisions before their kid was even born. So before pregnancy or while they were pregnant, they were making their decision. With our delayer group, it was all over the board. Like I mentioned, some of them started vaccinating, and then at their 6-month visit, something happened and they decided to stop. So they could have started while they were pregnant thinking about it, but they may have waited until 2 months or until later on to make that decision. Our acceptors, it was really interesting when we asked them when they started thinking about this, most of them said, I didn't even give it a second thought. I was always going to vaccinate my kid. It wasn't even hardly a decision-making process for them. So when we asked them what sources of information we used, especially with our decliners and delayers, it was all over the board. They used internet, books. They read, many of them read Dr. Bob's vaccine book, some of you may be familiar with. They went to internet places like Mercola.com, which is a kind of a naturalistic website. They went to Generation Rescue, which is Jenny McCarthy's website. They went all over the place. They talked to friends, family. A lot of them had alternative medicine providers, so chiropractors, acupuncturists, people like that that they talked to as well. Most of our decliners didn't say they went to their provider. They'd go to their chiropractor before they went to their provider. But our acceptors really trusted the provider as a good source of information. Our delayers liked their providers too and tended to go to them, but they were a little more hesitant about agreeing with what their providers wanted. So this was one of our delayers actually comment on their chiropractor, and she said, and he's not jaded, he's not tainted, he's not being paid by anyone. He just flat out has looked at what the information is and lets us decide from there. So again, this points at that trust that people have with their chiropractor in this case and how important that trust is. And this is also interesting. When I was talking about that institutional trust before as a concern that they had, we had a number of people that said, providers are getting paid by pharmaceutical companies to vaccinate kids. They really felt that. And these were all Kaiser members. At Kaiser, we don't even allow pharmaceutical companies into our buildings. So they really felt that with that. And you know, it wasn't true in our system, but that's what these parents really believed. So when we talked about the parent-provider relationship, three main themes came out, things that we found to be really interesting. The first was both sides of the story. Parents, all parents, decliners, delayers, and acceptors, felt like they weren't getting the cons, they were only getting the pros. They felt like, I want both sides, I want to hear what's good about them, I want to hear what's bad about them, I'm not getting what's bad about them from providers. This parent said, exactly, because as a healthcare provider and as a physician, you should know all sides of the different arguments to be able to advise your patients. And this brings out another code that we found in our focus groups, is this idea of provider knowledge. A lot of parents felt like the providers essentially just saying what they learned in medical school. They hadn't done any research themselves and didn't really know. So we found that really interesting as well, especially because, you know, within Kaiser, we have a lot of really passionate pediatricians that know a lot about this topic. But that's how it came across to parents. The next main theme that came out of this parent-provider relationship was the idea of choice. All parents wanted a choice. So even those acceptors that said, you know, I'm nervous about my child, I don't want him to be around an unvaccinated child, they still felt like it was important for parents to have a choice. They need to have some say in this. And this quote, one of our delayers said, it's the parents' choice and encouraging the parents to do their own research and to be educated about the decision they're making for their children. So really it's focusing on these parents needing to have some power, it's their child, they want to make the decision for that child. And the last kind of most interesting point I found was this idea of evolving decision-making process. So these parents didn't just make this decision and they're done. It was something they continued to think about. So this parent said, I decided I'm not vaccinating them at this time. You still have that fear in the back of your mind that, oh my God, what if he did get whooping cough and die? I feel horrible if there was something that I could have done. This was a parent that was a full decliner and would have gone into that lost cause that many people think, you know, if they've decided there's no way you can change their mind. This was one of those parents, so there is some room there. So what did we learn? Parents are well informed. They use a lot of sources of information, particularly the internet. That was the main source of information we heard from all parents. They want choices. They want to be empowered in this decision that they're making. They want to hear both the pros and the cons of the story. And this is an evolving decision-making process. They think about it all the time. They're not just making the decision and done with it. So some limitations we have as our sample size, you know, obviously with 33 participants, we can't draw conclusions from this. We're just using it to form hypotheses and build our survey that we're sending out now. It was just with Kaiser patients, so it may not be generalizable outside of that. Our focus group schedule was difficult. These were parents of 2 to 4-year-olds, so it was hard to get them in, obviously. So the survey is another way for us to reach out to those parents. There's always a risk of confirmation bias, and there's the impact of nonverbal communication. Sarcasm comes off perfectly in transcripts. You know, obviously there are some things that when you read a transcript, you're not going to be able to pick up on. So our next steps, we want to confirm what we found with our survey. And then we're in the middle of designing a risk communication intervention, which we know needs to have varied approaches, be very concise, and we actually just received funding to build a social media website that we're pulling from all these focus groups and trying to build ways to talk to these parents and give them the power to feel like they're involved, blog, say something, be able to ask questions openly, and we think this will be a really effective approach. So I also want to just acknowledge a few people. Dave McClure, who was one of our analysts, and Matt Daly, who's a pediatrician, and Joanne Shoup, who's sitting in the back, did an awesome job helping me moderate the focus groups, and Emily McCormick, who's actually in Haiti fighting cholera right now. She was helping us as well. So thanks, everyone. Thank you. Mm-hmm.